Amy, can you hear us? Amy Lustig? All right, Bob, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, and Dennis is here, so we report, and it's 5:30, so. I call the Newtown Borough Council, March 8th, 2023 work session to order. Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Do we have any amendments to the agenda? Public to be heard. Okay, engineer's report, Michelle.
First item I wanted to talk about tonight is the Shiz Word Program. In your packets, you have the roads that the road committee and the finance committee are requesting to be done this year, and they include North Elm Avenue, South Congress Street, well, North Elm Avenue from Washington Street to 202 North Elm Avenue, and South Congress Street from East Center Street to Washington Street. And then there are three areas of base repairs throughout the borough that are to be done also. So for your meeting next week, I'd like to ask for authorization to advertise that part of the road program, which will allow us to notify the neighbors, not the neighbors, the residents, of any curb repair or driveway apron replacement that have to be done. There's none on South Congress Street, but just on that section of North Elm, there is upwards of 20 different residents that will have to have either their curb or driveway apron replaced. So we'd like to get those letters out as soon as possible, let them have the opportunity to either get the work done themselves or to have the borough do it as part of the road program. And if they have any questions, to get to us early, to ask questions. That is all I have for you for tonight, unless somebody has questions about my engineer's report.
Well, first, does anyone have any questions on the road program, which is recommended, and some of it's preemptive maintenance and some of it is following elements following Newtown Artesian Water Company so that we get that discount?
Well, I think it's important to note that the added preemptive work is within budget. So
yes. Yeah, everything's been checked. So is everyone good with that? And do we have any questions for Michelle about her report?
I just have one question about the intersection at Delight at Washington and Lincoln. Mm-hmm. Did you get back to PennDOT about the beacons for
yes.
visually impaired? Are they willing to forego those?
We resubmitted back to PennDOT for approval. Not having the all pad, but having a lead pad cycle of 6 seconds and without the chirping.
And so we're waiting to hear back.
We're waiting to hear back.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Solicitor report. Ron? Thank you. Excuse me. You all have a copy of our report, so I'm happy to answer any questions specific to the report, but I do know that there are two discussion items this evening. The first is the Steepleview Phase 2 preliminary and final plan update. We attended the Planning Commission on Monday evening. At that time, there was a lengthy discussion regarding the parking for the project and the need for a conditional use application. In that regard, earlier today, the applicant forwarded a letter requesting a brief extension to the end of April in order to be able to address some of those concerns. And I believe the Planning Commission had requested to see the project back in front of Planning Commission as well before it comes to council. So right now, with the extension request will be placed on the meeting agenda for the 14th for you to act on. So there's not any action to be taken tonight unless you have any questions. Michelle can fill in any gaps that I
can add. We, the building code official and I met with the applicant applicant's attorney this afternoon to talk about interpretations of some of the ordinances. We specifically talked about the floor area definition for office and conditional use approval that was required for sharing parking. So the applicant was made aware, the applicant's attorney was made aware that he would need a conditional use. We talked about how his traffic engineer said that we wouldn't be getting information from him for 2 or 3 weeks from Monday, which puts us in the end of March. And with the Planning Commission meeting being at the first Monday of the month, that probably wouldn't be enough time to review it, get a conditional use application in. So we suggested to him that it be an extension for 60 days. Mm-hmm. And he said he would talk to his client, but that it would be likely that the extension would be granted for another 30 days.
So he said he would talk to his client. And that was one of my questions, is looking at the need for the conditional use, but that should happen before they go to the Planning Commission. the need for everyone to review the reports once they come in. That I'm worried that 30 days is not enough.
I felt the same way. Not just the conditional use, but given the myriad of things in Michelle's report that need to be addressed, I don't see how 30 days is enough time.
Yeah. And it very well may not be. And they'll probably amend their letter. Right now, the only thing that we have is a 30-day letter.
Right. And we talked about the advertising requirements for conditional use too. There was nothing in the procedures, I think, in the borough, and we gave him what fee would be required, and the building code official is going to make up an application form for conditional use, but then he was going to talk to your office, Lauren, about advertising requirements.
So what will the procedure be for there, so we understand the course of events for the conditional use?
So once we get the application for the conditional use, we'll consult with Michelle to make sure that everything is in line with that. The advertisement for the conditional use process tracks and mirrors what happens with the zoning hearing board. So we're required to post the property. We have to advertise it twice. We have to hold the first hearing within 60 days of receiving the application. That's the first hearing. If it goes into multiple hearings, then we get various extensions. But it sounds like this would probably be a one evening consideration. Then we have to issue a written opinion regarding whatever decision is reached on the conditional use. And our code requires that they resolve the zoning issue prior to land development approval.
Can we do the conditional use at a regularly scheduled council meeting, or does it need to be a special meeting?
They're typically done at regular meetings. Unless, if you anticipate it's going to be a 3-4 hour hearing, a special meeting sometimes does make sense. So that would, again, once we get the application, we'll review with Michelle and find out, get our ducks in a row on that.
Okay.
Is the borough procedure also that it should be reviewed by the Planning Commission before it comes to council?
I believe that's, most places, yes. Yeah. It'll go to planning. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So right there, and you know, that takes longer. And you did speak with him, Michelle, about that today. So they know that it's not just getting the reports in and submitting them. It's the review and the conditional use. And then there are some other outstanding zoning questions as well.
30 days is aggressive.
It's impossible.
So,
I think 60 days.
Yeah, that would be like the minimum, I would think. So, and that's thinking everything goes extremely smoothly. And I think council is seeing that
Schedules.
Right. And we see that they're moving apace with everything, So, is there a way that we can convey to them? You communicated that thought. I don't know if there's any way that we can.
Yeah.
If council's interested in doing so, just saying, hey, perhaps a little more would be better, at least 60, if not 90.
Yeah, so, and we'll talk to Tim Duffy about this. And just one clarification, the 30 days is in addition to what they have now. So it'd be end of April.
Yeah.
So it's about 6 weeks from next week's meeting, but it's still a very aggressive timeline, and I don't see them getting their conditional use resolved in that timeline. So we'll talk to Tim Duffy and get the necessary extensions.
Right, and if they ask for more than they need, that's fine. They just want to use it.
Right.
Okay. Does anyone have any other questions on that?
Sarah.
Are you taking public comments right now?
I, the, There's not really any action pending in front of council, so next week would be when any action is taken.
All right,
the end of the meeting.
All right. Okay, and next, Michelle, you have
question
updates. We have Bob. Bob?
Michelle, would you define conditional use as to how this applies here?
I think that'd probably be better. I could take a shot at it, maybe coming from the solicitor.
So a conditional use, and I apologize if I'm misunderstanding your question, but a conditional use is a use that is in the code that is permitted if certain conditions are met. Here, the use that the what is triggering the requirement for conditional use is the proposed shared parking plan. There may be other aspects that are that would eventually trigger it, which is why we're going to review the application with Michelle to make sure that they captured everything. But that's what's triggering it here.
I have a follow-up question to that. Michelle's report said that the current parking on site doesn't meet the minimum requirements for our ordinance for the residences. Does that need to be resolved before they can
go for
conditional use, or is that part of the condition?
That's what they're trying to resolve with the conditional use. If for whatever reason they're not able to get the conditional use approval, or even with the conditional use approval, they do not meet the parking requirements, they would then need zoning relief as well.
Okay. And part of that is, you know, every element of any zoning issue to make sure all of that's like concurrently lined up. Mm-hmm. I think it's good. So that's part of having Mike was Vitalia's meeting and Anna Kinberg was part of that conversation too. That you have to pay.
Yes.
Okay. And to be clear, the conditional use, if you meet it, you get it. It's not like a variance where the zoning hearing board says, what do we think? And takes all the aspects of the situation into consideration.
The burden is much higher for a variance.
Mm-hmm. I think, Bob, you had your hand up again.
So who decides whether the Stocking Works parking is a permissible parking space for this development?
So the ordinance allows for it by conditional use if the objective criteria in the ordinance are satisfied. I don't have those in front of me offhand, but ultimately decision is council.
Does it have to be through the zoning group first?
Nope, it goes, the conditional use comes in front of council. It will go in front of planning, but ultimately the decision is borough council's.
What does the planning commission have to say on it?
They haven't seen the application yet. They just they give advice like they do on any other application.
So their position is, or their obligation is to advise us.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the explanation.
You're welcome.
Okay, now we have the update on the curb replacement.
Certainly, and Nicole's been working on this very closely, so I'll defer to her on some of the details, but the property owners and their attorney have been notified of the borough's ordinance and council's position on the interpretation of the ordinance. And so there's really not any action to be taken on that issue at this time. We've informed them that they can certainly come up with a shared parking a cost sharing agreement, and council will honor that. That's up to them to do.
And our hands are tied. We can't give them a grace because we can't say, oh yes, we'll come to these other residents who don't have any type of HOA or other agreement.
Correct.
Right, under the ordinance, council is only authorized to assess fees to the property owner. So we can't just assess fees as they've asked us to do because it's simply not authorized.
Does anyone have any questions on that situation? One thing that it was about any other streets. For example, the alley right behind us, right? That easement. We just did Green Street, so that doesn't need to be done anytime soon, but you know, at some point. And any other places in town that might have something similar, looking at them planning ahead for the future, do we want to write some type of letter to notify those residents that, as far as we know, we don't have any record of an HOA, and should you need your curbing redone as part of a road program, it will fall on the first owner, and perhaps you want to create some legal arrangement together. And just as an FYI, and I don't know if that's something council is interested in looking at and doing. It would just be a simple letter with an legal approval.
I mean, I personally wouldn't do it unless they were coming up on the road program.
So if we see them like lined up soon, you know, they give them advanced time to make their arrangement.
I wouldn't just send it to them now.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't know when or if their road will be repaired.
So we want to just say, put that in notes for the future.
Yeah.
And be aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any comment from online?
Do we publish in advance of next year? Because I think we have a 5-year street program. Could we put on the webpage what the next streets are going to be?
Things happen. Sometimes the way you look at a road now, it could be particularly impacted by something and have more cracks than we realize, or there could be unexpected things. So I don't want somebody assuming their road is going to be done this particular year, when in fact it might be a later year because something more emergent came up. And so for cross reasons, we moved theirs back. Or I don't know, Michelle, if you have any comments on that.
No, that's a good point. The borough always follows Newtown Artesian, and they have their 5-year program. So we should know with some certainty what roads will be done. At least one road will be done each mm-hmm. year. But you're absolutely right. I think we're doing 2 out of maybe 7 roads that were listed as a second priority mm-hmm. this year. So that leaves 5 roads off. But there might be a road next year that was in the third priority that, for whatever reason, might need repair more than roads in the second priority.
Mm-hmm.
Lafayette is an example of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's a good idea otherwise, but there's just a lot of wiggle room, and I don't want anybody thinking, my road's on this year, and then it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bob, your reason for that is it so that neighbors can plan if they have to make repairs to save to pay for it? What is the thought behind the advance?
Well, if we're putting the burden on the primary property owner to deal with his adjoining property owners, and they're trying to figure this out financially, it may be helpful for those people to know when we're coming up their street. That's all. It's a notice thing to give people adequate time to prepare, especially if there's a financial issue involved. I'm just trying to help the community prepare for these financial requirements. That's all.
Right.
I think the letter that Tara was suggesting would do that. To send them a letter saying we recognize this, but that's once it's planned.
I was recommending was only the people who may have some type of alley that would otherwise be the responsibility of the person who is at the front. So for example, Buckman Place, when that was done, if they didn't create an HOA, then all the responsibility would be on the homeowners adjacent to the road, and the ones next to it who share the T in the back wouldn't. But the way it's written, when they were built, they all share equally.
Perhaps we could do an article in the mayor's report or the biannual news, brochure, just for giving people education on how this whole process works.
That might work Artesian or something like that. We only have a few places where we have the alley, and one has already been taken care of because they know about it for sure.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, does anyone have any other questions on that? Okay. Thank you, Lauren and Nicole. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you. Matt? How you doing?
Good, how are you?
We have you on the agenda to discuss. I know you and I briefly talked about this, the Hometown Heroes banners.
Yes. Real quick, for anybody that doesn't know, my name is Matt Arlen. I am the manager of Ned's Cigar Store. You can't smell the cigar coming off. So I apologize. I'm also president of the Ned Mayher Society. Heath Dumack, Brandon Wynn, Barry Wynn, myself, and I, we formed the Ned Mayhurst Society is a nonprofit organization for the charitable work that we do to give back. Hence, we've done the Pint of Pink. We've done the Groundhog Day event that was someone's brought out here. It was all about giving back to the local food banks and helping feed homeless. Right now, the one thing we're working on is our Hometown Hero banners. The reason why this is so near and dear to my heart is because, number one, Ned Mayer, the original owner of the cigar store back in 1940, was a first lieutenant of the United States Army and was killed on the Anzio Beach there, 24 March 1944. So everything we try to do is we're trying to honor those that have served our country. So driving through all these different small towns in Pennsylvania, you see Hometown Hero banners hanging, honoring those that paid the ultimate sacrifice. And we thought that that would be something that would be very appropriate for such a historic town such as this, because we're one of the in many few communities that would be able to go back as far as the Revolutionary War to honor that far back. Because, what, 1683, I believe it is? 1684. Yeah, 1683, 1684. I know there's a debate. We talked about it for the patent with Chief. So the Ned Mayhurst Society decided that we're going to raise funds and develop a banner which would honor those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice. We're working with John Guy, the historian from the American Legion. We're working with the Newtown Historical Society or organization. Dave Callahan's got a lot of the information. Mike Donovan, who has since passed, got a whole lot of information that we're using, and it's being helpful for us to be able to research and find all those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice, you know, over many years. And if we go back to, like I said, it goes back to the Revolution at the Battle of Bird in Hand, where there's reports that there were up to five militia troops that were killed at the Battle of Bird in Hand and then multiple wounded. So what we did was we came up with an idea. So we came up with an idea for the Hometown Hero banners. It's basic and simple. This is just a sample of what we're doing. We're working with, I believe, this DRS printing up near Doylestown. It's somebody that Rich Fiquette from Countryside Frames is affiliated with. And we developed this banner. I'd like to show you the other side. And I'm going to tell you right now, today's National Proofreading Day. It's appropriate because it's actually Daniel Hennessy, and not David. But this is what the banner is going to look like. It's double-sided. It's one piece. And it's made to not fade in the sun. My request to the council is to be allowed to hang these on the streetlights on State Street. The question becomes is, right now there's approximately 10 lights that have the equipment to hold banners. We have, at least right now, at this point in time, roughly 25 to 30 names that we would be honoring. So with the 10 that are up there double-sided, we could cover at least 20. And we would try to space it out between not only Revolution, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, Vietnam, because we don't know of any people from Newtown that were killed in Korea, up and through the Global War on Terror. So this is kind of what we're developing. We brought this. I also brought the hardware that they would hang from if the borough were to acquiesce and allow us to use the streetlights that currently don't have hardware. Now, I know that the Newtown Experience also hangs banners. We were able to hang banners last year, thankfully, for Pine to Pink, for the people to sponsor them. And we raised, on a side note, we raised over $15,000 that night for the Kin Center and Pine to Pink to benefit women that battle breast cancer here in Bucks County. So I don't know whether you want us to continue just using the existing hardware that is there, or if you would be considering or would consider to add to the streetlights right now that do not have hardware. All this would be paid for through the Ned Mayhurst Society. Right now, we are doing a fundraiser in the window of Countryside Frames and Art Gallery. There is a huge American flag that was crocheted. It's at an Afghan, which is framed by a lady up in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, who heard what we were doing and wanted to contribute. Her name's Jen Boller. But we're raffling it all for $10 a piece. We've already raised in excess of $700-$800. And that'll pay for all the banners and any hardware if we're allowed to add new hardware. And if you have any questions.
Matt, what would be your time frame? When would you hang these memorial?
I would, if you're not adding to adding additional poles, my request would be approximately 5 days before Memorial Day through July 4th. I think that would be appropriate for a timeline. I know that a lot of the banners that go up cover multiple months. I know that during the holidays, normally the banners go up in the beginning of November, come down in December. We're asking for about a month and a week, a month and a half, not even.
7-5, actually. Because nobody's going to take it down 7-4.
No, but okay. All through 7-4.
So,
yes,
sir. I love the idea. I've seen them in hundreds of towns.
Yes, sir.
The other option would be with the poles that we do not have brackets on,
yep,
and you could keep them up year round.
Yes,
sir. Because I'm just thinking, listen, do we need to be climbing up and down every 5 to 6 weeks? And does the Newtown Experience have things going on, like a car show or something, where that may be impacting the flag? That you're saying your flag's up now, that other flag can't go up. Or...
And that's and I'm trying to be conscientious of what the Newtown Experience does, right? Because normally, their car show flags, the car show. Do we have a date on that yet, Chief?
Tonight, we do have a date. Yeah.
Okay. But
Father's Day weekend usually now?
No, it's
normally later in July. Excellent. And I think they were removed. I think they moved it a little bit later this year because they were looking at temperatures. But don't hold me to that. I don't have
the date. They might have.
So it is in July.
So they haven't had a banner yet, but that doesn't mean that.
Friendly comment is, I mean, I don't think, maybe, I don't know, anyone would have a problem with adding to the exit the poles that don't have the brackets. This way, that's that, and then we can work out rather than trying to coordinate more work.
Absolutely, and that would be the way that I would like to see this go, so that these always hang in perpetuity. The Ned Mayhurst Society would be responsible for maintaining and always making sure that they stay, as well as the purchase of all the hardware for going up. If anybody has any questions, I'm not going to rip out all the pieces right now, but I have the banner here and I have the hardware here.
And I don't know, these same size as the...
It's very similar. And believe it or not, the brackets that are up there now are adjustable because it's basically like a clamp. So you just unscrew it and you can adjust it down or up in order to the size of the banner. So we could work with either the existing equipment that's there or new equipment if you allow us to install it on the other street.
We'd need to be sure that it was taller than even the tallest person. So nobody bumps their head on it.
Okay, well, can we go by the Guinness Book of World Records?
We need a standard pot.
Well,
above standard.
I'm only 5'8".
Yeah, so we don't have to go Robert, what's his name? But you know, we don't have anybody hitting their head on it.
Put them all up. Yeah, I don't hit them.
And you and I talk about this. Yes, it's sort of like everybody looking at what it would look like to consider. You'd have more things on the street, obviously, if you could take the other ones down, put these up for that time period, and then put new things up for other parts of the year. And if we add the posts, then you're going to have more frequently occurring signs. So one thing I would like to do is make sure everybody gets a chance to just go out and like look and say, yes, I'm good with that.
These people fought for our rights and liberties.
Yeah.
If you ask me, it's a logical thing. It should be up the whole time. If these guys didn't die for us, we wouldn't be here. Put them all. Are they all paid for?
They'll be all. They're all. Yeah. The Ned Mayor Society is going to be paying for everything.
Oh, so it's all paid for.
Yes, sir.
All right. Do you need any price for brackets?
No, we have it all.
If you ask me,
even on the brackets, they're all paid for. If
anybody complains about it, they're nuts. These guys fought for our rights and liberties.
I just want to make the point. I'm totally for this in whatever iteration it ends up being. However, I just want to point out that putting these up may bring other organizations that want to hang banners for nonprofits for something or something else. And we need to keep in mind that if we allow somebody to do it, we might have to allow other people to do it so they can't stay up 24/7, 365.
Unless council says these are the hometown hero post, and that's that, and that's what they are for, and we can designate that.
But that won't stop people from asking, though.
Right. And I think you have an excellent question about, like, how do you say yes to this and not no to that?
Easy. They fought for our rights and liberties. That's how you
come. I'd like to ask the solicitor your input on council's like flexibility with saying yes to one thing and no to somebody else who comes in with their idea. And for something like this, which I should think we should be able to say this is designated for that and that's it. But I know there was some conversation in a prior meeting, and it might have been with Mike and not with you, about like once you create that public space.
Yeah, someone had a question last
month. Yeah, and I walked home thinking these are not like quirk words on those posts where anybody can like stick something. Banners are different. There's got to be more control over banners.
Yeah, you have a lot more control over property that the township owns, and that you're not opening it up to all speech.
Mm-hmm.
It's a governmental function. It's government mm-hmm. speech. So.
Can I just point out one thing also, is the fact that nowhere on this does have Ned Mayer Society or Ned Cigar Store or Matt Arlen or anybody else affiliated with it. I know that the Newtown Experience, they all have the newtownhistoric.org on them because that's who pays for all those banners. That's not what this is about. This is just about solely honoring those that made the ultimate sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And so either way, if you want to stick with the post that we have, we would ask for just before Memorial Day through July 4th, because I think that would be a respected time frame. And if you allow us to do the other polls, then we could keep them up in perpetuity.
Matt, have you gone out to look at the polls? I know you and I were looking at them a little bit and seeing, are they, it's alternating in a way that would.
So right now it's, as you go down from, let's say Washington, the post on what would be the west side has a banner, the post on the east side does not.
Mm, so
the second set, it zigzags down. Yeah. So it's
every other side.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, you said you have 20 altogether?
Right now, according to what's allowed, we would be able to do 20. And we'd be doing 10. It would be two sided.
Right.
So we'd be honoring at least 20 at that point in time.
But okay. 10 posts.
But 10 posts for what's existing.
How many posts are there all together?
I believe there's 20 posts.
Oh.
It's 19 or 20. I think there'd be
10 of those all the time. And then the other 10 switch off with the Newtown Experience.
Correct.
Okay.
That would allow for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because once again, I'm not trying to step on the Newtown Experience.
No, we can understand.
This is, stretch of imagination. Mm-hmm. This is mm-hmm. just, you know, it says honor our past on the Newtown Experience banner.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
nope. And that's exactly what this is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next question, and I'm going to ask our Rose Council for input, is we have information on, let's say, 15 people from World War II, but one of them is from Washington's Crossing, one of them is from Richboro. And then two are from the George School property, but those records have been maintained by the Newtown Historic Society. I'm not trying to offend anybody during this and trying to honor all those. I think that one of the things we thought about is just keeping it to the 18940 area code.
Okay.
They're hometown heroes.
Yes, ma'am.
Not Council Rock School District heroes.
No, just it's called Newtown. Yeah.
Or Buckstown here, right?
Well, in 1936, there was only the Newtown High School.
Right.
So, and where was that? Does anybody here know where the original Newtown High School was? Just looking.
Well, on
Chancellor Street. So that's the original high school. So yeah. Whether they lived in Newtown Township or Newtown Borough, that's right. Where they went. So that's one of the reasons why I figure if we just keep it 18940,
mm-hmm.
then that's what we would have.
And then then you're in the borough, and what was the farmland that was around it? Yeah.
Yep.
Also, you know you have enough posts for that. If you go outside 18940,
then you're open up a bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. So but this is about Newtown.
Right.
And it's not trying to divide Newtown Township from Newtown Borough. Somebody asked me a question about what if Newtown Township wanted to do something like that. That would be entirely up to them. But this is the historic area of Newtown. Mm-hmm. It's not.
Oh, it's
true. On the taco or Ironwood Brewery, it's.
And these are great. I call you. The colors are great.
Yeah, and this is what we were talking about.
Yeah.
I was most fortunate enough to be able to talk to Tara about this a few weeks ago, and we covered a bunch of it. So.
Question: are you and the Ned Mayer Society planning on affixing the brackets to the posts that don't have it, or is that something you would need to get Scott to do? Or
no, we could do it all. We have Richie from the frame shop, so I mean, we hope that Richie knows the show. I am Tim McEwen from a hardware store, Dumag Engineering. He's Dumag's part of this. So we have a plethora of people that all kind of have a little bit of a mechanical background.
Okay.
And I'm okay with a screwdriver.
Tara?
Everybody knows. Yeah.
Is the proposal just to go from Washington to Center or from Green to Penn? Because the business district extends far greater than Washington and Center. And notwithstanding that we don't have lights, we have other kinds of poles that we could put these on to extend the business, to put the flags in the entire business district from Penn to Green. I've had in my role received many, not many, but comments from the businesses outside the Washington Center area saying, why don't we get some of the amenities that are in that limited business district?
Well, I mean, I think what you could do is start in the center and work your way out, giving you plenty of opportunity over the years to add.
Well, that's something we have to consider with the global war on terror. And it's Bob that brought up the point. Bob, I absolutely agree. A lot of times when we do functions, that ends up being kind of the redheaded stepchild down there. And I don't want to make them feel like they're not part of this. Like I said, Tim McEwen from the Hardware House is somebody that's been working with us on this. So we're trying to spread, you know, the love throughout the entire business community here.
That's a good thought, Tom. I just want to make sure everybody know the way it is now is was not based on like deep thought. It was more at the time Harry Betts brought the idea of having the banners to council, and other towns have the banners with various things or promoting the town itself. And there was some question and concern about weather and how they hold up, and what about this, and what about so on. And like, let's see how it does, and we'll just do it like the way it is right now, the alternating and down the street and see. So we may decide that we just want to like have that and switch them or add more, but there's no deep mathematical or aesthetic thought behind where they are now. It was purely based on being cautious at that time because we had never done it before. So that's the background.
Is this something we need to do on?
There's no vote listed on this evening's agenda. I don't know that they're really looking
for. No. Next week, do we need to vote?
Yeah.
Like if we're going to add posts or we're going to make a decision other than here, put them up during this time, if we're going to basically the vote. Well, one option is, you know, you do the 10 and 10, right? And then you have 20. Another option is if it's all hometown heroes during this time period, will you be able to fill all 10 polls?
Yes.
Okay, so if we do 10 and 10, you'd have to pick and choose.
Well, it would alternate tunneling the way it goes now.
So you do some for part of it and some for the rest of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it would. So this way, it's like if you decide to add the other 10 polls on the street, mm-hmm. Newtown Experience would be able to swap out theirs if we do it in the same diagonal the way it is now.
We only need 10 polls and they have 10 already. So we have 20 polls total. That would work out fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Good job, Matt.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very nice.
All right.
It's not just me. There's a whole lot of people that have been working on this for a while.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
I owe them a world of gratitude.
We've sort of, been the core of keeping it going.
I have no idea what's
going on. So I still feel slightly, I don't know, marginally confused over our options because I think we actually have three options. Do we want to write it down, send to council, we can do this, or this? Or does council have a strong idea right now? Let's go ahead and do one of the options.
I mean, I liked Mary Ellen's idea of if you want to pay to add the brackets to the other 10 polls, they're yours, and the other ones rotate out with Newtown Experience.
I think that's easy.
I mean, yeah, that makes the most logical sense to me.
Up and down, scheduling who gets what time this.
That's I humbly appreciate that. And that's what I would love to see because then these would always be up.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob, if we can, we'll get the stuff to go even further down towards the Hardware House and extend it down the street. And if we can extend it a little bit towards the theater, we'll do it that way as well.
I would like to propose that we authorize from green to pen, and as funds come in and as new heroes are recognized, we just can add them. So that way you have the full breadth of the borough business district. And as we have more funds and we have more heroes, we add them. And we don't have to keep coming back requesting to do this.
Yeah, I don't care which polls.
Yeah,
I don't care. I mean, where they're located.
I think part of the thing will be communicating with Newtown Experience. And so that I think that would be a very, very important. If you're going to do the alternating ones, they're going to do those so that it works. And everybody's comfortable, you know, whose polls are whose.
Well, they already have brackets and flags on them.
They do, correct. Yeah.
Let them go forward with what they do, and then you
take the polls. Okay, so that way you're not having to share. And that I just don't want there to be some issue of people stepping on toes and people being upset.
And I'm trying to avoid that.
That's been discussed from like 6 months ago. So it's not like they're going to be surprised.
Right. Yeah. And I know you talked about them.
Yeah.
All right. So we don't need to do anything else.
I'll double check our code just to make sure that there's nothing in there that requires any kind of formal action from council.
Okay.
I think we'll let
you know.
All right.
Give me a couple days.
Thank you.
Yeah, not a problem. And I'll leave this here, the brackets here for in case anybody needs it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Matt.
All right.
All right. So I have an announcement or a reminder. The Newtown Shamrock Shuffle is this Saturday. Just as a reminder, it's going to look like it's going to be another chili run this Saturday. So if you can come out and support those folks that are running, including myself, we would appreciate it. The other two special events that I have, I don't know if you've taken a look at the first Arbor Day thing, basic premise and process has been in years past. I don't know if there's any questions about the application. They've been in touch with me, and I know they sent everyone on council email around the event. So that'll be something for vote on Tuesday. The next one is the market day. We got this well in advance. The only item that the chief was not comfortable with and wants to make sure that we're aware of and that we don't do is this additional request, I guess, from years past was that they wanted to block off State Street as well during this time. And I think the chief feels there's too many roads closed on that day to shut down State Street as well.
The duration of it and the additional road closures is pretty high. Problem for us, closing down the road for that much.
I have a question, Chief. Do we need PennDOT approval to close down a state road?
Technically, you do, yes.
Okay.
Any questions? Are you guys okay?
Mm-hmm. As far as a motion next week, then we would need to include denying that one portion.
Right.
Okay.
I had conversations with the organizer. They needed to have an answer pretty quickly as to whether or not the event could take place on that particular date because they had to line up their vendors. So I gave them a reasonable assurance that that date would be okay to council, but not to go to college. So.
Is council good? Can you give a reasonable assurance that that date is fine?
Yeah. All right.
Bob? I am familiar with closing the state highway in New Hope for the parade in May. And PennDOT is very strict on the exact time periods for when it is closed and when it is open, notwithstanding the completion of the parade. So closing the state highway is not a simple matter, and I agree with the chief.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks.
Sorry.
All right, does anyone have any other questions on this? All right, Mr. Mayor, are you done?
I am, thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, on to the Adopt a Book program. Everybody's taking a look at that on the Bucks County Recorder of Deeds Office we had a visitor via Zoom at that point a couple of years ago come and show us, you know, through Zoom, some of the books and improvements they've made in taking old, ratty, ill cared for documents and binding them and organizing them and keep preparing them for retention for the future. And so they are asking if anybody would like to, including municipalities, sponsor any, so we can be the Bucks County Adopt a Book program. We could donate up to $499, get a certificate of thanks, $500 to $1,999. We also get the name of the donor included on the Adopt a Book plaque. $2,000 and up, we get the two above plus a label of dedication in the respective deed book. And then you would write your name of donor, address of donor, and so on as you'd like it to appear on the plaque. So my question is council interested in Newtown Borough contributing to anything and, I don't know, being on the Adopt Book plaque or something like that?
I mean, I am. These books include information about the history of Newtown Borough.
Yes.
William Penn's signatures in some of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a great thing to donate some money to. It's our history.
It is. It is ours. It's not just like separate, Bucks County separate. It includes Newtown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts? Bucks?
Since we are probably the oldest town in Bucks County, when we select the books, I would like to go to the oldest possible books after our founding, because no other municipality would have any comment on that because they didn't exist. So if we could go, if we're going to do this, I would like to go to the oldest books because they may not have any sponsors and that history is more pertinent to us than anybody else.
So basically, if we chose the highest level, then we'd get the deed book. Otherwise, we're just on the plaque that they hang on the wall. So if the council were to do that, your recommendation is we pick something old that also includes the borough, or is just old?
Perhaps the Historical Society could help us out on this, because I know Dave has deed records because they did a survey of all the construction of every house in the historical district. So before we make this decision, maybe we could talk to Dave as to what information the Historical Society has to aid us in this decision.
Well, right now our decision is only one, do we want to do it? And two, how much? Then from there we can talk to the Historic Association, we can talk to the Recorder of Deeds office and see what books are available if we choose that level of donation. So first is, yes, do we want to do it? I'm hearing generally that everyone thinks it's a nice idea. So then the next is the amount. And then we go to Pat and say, hey, we'd like to put this amount, and either we do it this year or we put it in the budget for next year. So you have the certificate of thanks. The certificate of thanks plus being on the Adopt a Book plaque, which means Newtown Borough is reported there, which for the public to see, which is nice. To get your label of dedication in a deed book is $2,000 and up. So I don't know if anybody's had any thoughts on this, what they think would be appropriate.
I think it would be fine just to have our name on a plaque. Since we don't doubt.
That's between $500 and $19.99, right?
Yeah, between $500 and $2,000.
Because I think we need to keep in mind how much we donate to other organizations as well.
Yeah, yes.
We don't want to just blow them out of the water by donating $2,000 for a book.
Yeah, and we donate to
any other organization we donate to. Mm-hmm. We just need to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. So we would like to do the mid-range donation. And so budget and finance, check with Pat and just see if there's any particular recommendation of that amount, or does anybody have an amount in mind? Like we could just say $1,000.
I think maybe ask Pat
what
she thinks, taking into consideration what we donate, you know,
to our other.
Yeah, have her look into that.
Okay.
Tara, do we have to wait till 2024 to do this? Or can we do it in this year's budget?
We might be able to because it's not a huge amount, but I think that's something that we'd go to Pat and see what she recommends.
Okay.
And this is not going away. We just received a letter and a request, and they're running this Adopt a Book program. And I thought I would bring it to council and see what council thought.
I would like to rephrase it as to what Budget and Finance Committee will recommend with the assistance of the treasurer.
I think that sounds great.
Tara, to answer Bob's earlier question, I would like to volunteer to talk to Dan McPhillips, who's in charge of this project. And he's a cousin.
And your cousin? Oh, yeah, maybe we can get
a discount.
Yeah,
and sure, deal.
Person presentation with actual books that we can actually look at, not something Zoom. So thank you, Dennis, for offering that. I appreciate that. That's great. Okay, the Verizon franchise agreement. So the larger consortium of Bucks County, you know, creates arrangements with various entities, and there is the has been for a while now ongoing negotiation with Verizon for their franchise is their ability to run their stuff. And interrupt me, please, if I say something wrong.
You're good.
Through your municipality. So can they string their wires up and have their poles and do their stuff? And they pay to do that, and therefore they have access to our residents as their customers. So there's been a long series of negotiations, and the negotiations have come to a conclusion and now need to be wrapped up. We sort of were on the edges of this. There is a lawyer group who's been negotiating, and there was a team and so on through the consortium. So there is one HD channel to which they agreed. Right now the borough's current Comcast channel and the Draft Verizon have two peg channels. If you're familiar with our television channel that maybe people sometimes watch like our meetings on, like this one, there's the governmental one, which is us, and an educational one, which would be the school district. So
how can they watch this meeting on TV?
Not necessarily.
But we have our public access channel where we put up ads. You can see the TV in the back. We put up little information and just the kind of things that might go out in the newsletter. So it's been the public access channel, and you've seen those in various, for other towns too, I'm sure. One of our questions has sort of been also like how many people do that anymore, but they're providing it for us. There's one HD channel. So we can say, we want the HD channel. We can say to the school district, perhaps they would like to use it. Perhaps they would use it more. They have more meetings that are bigger and have a larger catchment area. So if we wanted to go to the educational peg channel and have that be the one HD channel, I'm okay with that. And I just want to see if council has any thoughts on that. And I have a call in to their IT person, but because I should have done it 2 weeks ago, I haven't heard back from him. So I will have more information on their response tomorrow or the next day. But in the meantime, anybody has any questions, any thoughts on it?
Is the motion just that we're, for next week, that we just have to sign this agreement or authorize you to sign it?
Yeah, you're considering the franchise agreement. The Cohen Law Group negotiated this on behalf of the entire consortium, which is 22 municipalities.
Yeah.
So they were able to get a really good deal out of Verizon's pushing back really aggressively. Based on how much the market has just changed in the last few years. So they were able to negotiate keeping a 5% franchise fee. And they also included provisions that allow for an audit and a true up of those franchise fees. And they included some additional things that are going to go towards the franchise fees, like regional sports programming fees and revenue from the sale of subscriber lists. So right now we're not getting the franchise fees from those types of things. So they have an executive summary in the that's in share file. They do a really nice job of outlining it. Like I said, Verizon's pushing back aggressively. So this is, it took them a long time to negotiate this. So, but yeah, you're being asked to consider the agreement itself. And then you have this issue about the public access channel.
Right. And that's the rest of it is, I think the agreement is like, I think we should accept it. It also like moves into the future, right? You know, the way viewing has changed, and I think it recognizes that as much as possible.
And they're dealing with streaming, which is not like the internet service providers are not subject to franchise fees. So we're only getting it for cable. So all that competition with streaming services, Verizon was looking to try and knock down that 5%, but they were unable to do that. So.
Well, this agreement is important because your internet, our internet, Council Rock's internet, the library, it's all from gratis from this agreement.
I think they were cutting back on some of their number of free ones to nonprofits. So that's there are certain areas where some people have to give some things up. We couldn't have everything we wanted.
Well, it still includes all those things.
So this it allows them to use the boroughs rights away.
Yeah.
I got a question. In the past couple of years, as they've come in to repair poles and the wiring, they have damaged sidewalks, and they've also left the old poles in place. Does this agreement cover the maintenance, repair, and replacement of the poles and wires?
It does not. That is governed by the Public Utility Commission. So that Verizon is a public utility. It's regulated by the PUC. So they deal with maintenance concerns. However, this agreement does provide enforcement tools if they violate the agreement. And it does require them to have, communications with their customers and things like that. So it does address some of the maintenance issues, but typically those are largely dealt with by the PUC.
Mm-hmm. Are they?
If we would have a complaint about their workmanship and leaving dangerous poles in place, what is our procedural remedy to address those issues?
So the agreement, there are liquidated damages in the agreement. And then it specifically retains the option to file a lawsuit. If there's an extreme violation, we can revoke the agreement. But again, there's contact information in the agreement. So it does provide a direct contact for the customers, and it provides a direct contact for the borough as well. But again, most of those concerns are going to be addressed by the PUC.
Thank you.
Are they required to give the borough any notification when they come in and do any work in the easements?
I don't know that offhand. I would suspect that that's typically not included in these kind of agreements.
Emily, there's a permit process for that. They have to get a permit. They have to pay $200-something for a permit per pole.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
And I did read through the executive summary. I didn't read the whole. Now, last year we talked about and signed a document that was about Verizon and their small wireless facilities. And did that include any of this? Because
no, that has to do with internet service and cell phone service. This is strictly cable.
Okay.
So it's the cable franchise, which is why it's like limited in so many other ways too, despite being so long.
Yeah, there's a lot of lawyers involved, so it's a very
Dan Cohen has said if anybody has, if we have questions, that he'll take a call with any questions. So the other thing is, if anybody on council has any questions from all of that, we can reach out to him. I can ask him, come back with answers before the meeting too.
Dan is definitely your expert on this. I have negotiated this in the past, but it's been a while. So,
if you think of anything, like send me an email.
Okay.
And so obviously we have the decision to approve it, which I think we want to do. And then our only decision, which is minor in the big picture, but is a decision to make, is regarding the H channel.
I don't know what we want.
What are we going to do with it? I'd put it on our page and make it like even crisper.
Who's going to do it?
People who do internet things.
How much will it you cost?
I think they'll do it. They just provide it. It just will happen. You get Wayne Brown going. All right, thanks. And again, let me know if you have any questions. All right. The Bucks County Department of Health. Every year they like to come out and treat the waterways for West Nile virus. So we've been requested to participate in their annual mosquito habitat reduction and their West Nile virus surveillance and control activities. So some of it is encouraging public participation in removing things that collect water, and some of it is allowing them to come into our waterways and do what they do each year, which they have assured us they do responsibly. So this is the Department of Health. So you're not, it's not somebody who's doing this for profit. And what they will do is treat areas of standing water with larvicides. So the larvicides prevent the larvae from becoming pupae and therefore emerging as adults. So if you had a chance to look at their letter on page 3, they list some of their commonly used larvicides. And to quote them, we take great care and caution in the proper application of these products. And they talk about what they do for surveillance, what they do for West Nile virus. Each of the larvicides has a link, and this is something we've done, been done for years, but at the same time, council wants to take a look at it, feel comfortable, have to see if they have any questions. And I know the EAC was interested in being assured of the safety as well.
Well, the EAC has got it on its agenda for Monday night. So we'll have a recommendation to council for your Tuesday meeting.
Last year, when we talked about this and did agree to be part of it, we had asked them specific questions and they came back. They use low velocity sprayers.
Yes,
they,
correct.
So, they do take those things into consideration.
Yes.
As far as what they told us last year. So.
Liaison to Julia. Yes.
So, yes, the EAC is going to be talking about it at their meeting on Monday. And last year, council did take into account the EAC's recommendation. That recommendation included further information, which I'm happy to read to you or put into share file. But it just... they don't automatically come in and spray the waterways or standing water. They actually haven't come in for the past few years. And they do take a lot of precautions, but I just wanted to note that it's not an automatic thing. It's permission if needed.
If you have anything to put in share file for council to consider, that would be great. And then does the EAC have the information from last year regarding the low velocity spraying and so on?
Yes, they have it.
Okay.
And I'll add it to share file. It's just an email, and I'll add it as a note to the file with the letter in it.
Thank you. Anyone have any other questions or comments? So we'll see what the EAC says and go from there next week. Okay, the fire...
There is an area behind within the septo lot.
Hey, Chad, I appreciate what you have to say. Well, we're trying to do public comment at the end.
Thank you. Ted, is that regarding the screen? For the AC.
So the Newtown Fire Association, Fire Service Agreement with Newtown Township, which everyone here was either part of or observed coming to meetings. When that was done, we had created the fire commission, for quarterly meetings. And we had representatives from supervisors, representatives from the borough, representatives from Newtown Emergency Services Department, which are the township career paid firefighters, and a representative from the NFA board. And as we've had a couple meetings now, or three actually, we've realized, and the NFA has requested to add two more so that they can have three representatives and just have it be three members, because it could be a board member, it could be trustee. Warren Dallas, president of the NFA, is here. If Warren, you care to speak on any of it. But having multiple perspectives is beneficial, and that's something that Warren has spoken about to the commission at its meeting. And Mary Ellen John have been there for part of those conversations as well. So it's we talked about it and agreed that it is our recommendation to council that we amend the agreement to add so that it reads three members of the Newtown Fire Association. Mary Ellen and John, before we go to Warren, do you have any comments?
Yeah, I guess I was in agreement way mm-hmm. back when, but is it to allow a rotation of people, or do you want three
members? It's up to three members, just like it is for pro council. So, right, you can rotate people through it, probably the same way.
I'm all for it.
It's already in the agreement with the borough. Our fire associates need to get along between the borough and the township. Okay, with that. And on decision making, so I can't imagine it's, we can't decide anything anyway.
But it's good for anybody.
It's good for input, right? That's what we're looking for. Yeah, different points of view.
Does anyone have any questions for Warren? Warren, do you have anything else you want to say?
No, that's really it. Mm-hmm. More clerical than anything else, I believe.
And part of this is because at the beginning we thought, well, this is an agreement between the borough and the township, and we'll include somebody from the NFA because they're part of the process. But as we look into, you know, planning and budgeting and the how closely the NESD and the NFA work together and having the same chief, it seems to make sense to bring them in as part of this process, even though they're not part of the budgetary arrangement. So that's the reason. Does anyone have any questions on that? No. Okay, so are we comfortable with doing that and voting next week? And it's a resolution. So we don't have to, at one point we talked about doing an ordinance and I was worried it was going to be an ordinance change, but it's not. So that makes it much easier. Okay, and you will see on your upcoming CARB minutes for next week that there will be changes to the NFA antique apparatus display box, the Glaston porch out front. Where they keep a rotating antique apparatus. And Alan Smith approached them offering to fund an improved box that will be more glassed in rather than the traditional like French door style, where this would allow everyone in the outside to see the apparatuses that are being displayed more clearly. So I would like to recommend that we waive all permit fees associated with this process for the NFA. Warren, do you have any comments on that?
I mean, it's really just the Washington Avenue side. There's no structural work. Mm-hmm. Taking up with now small panes of glass and making it large panes of glass than the work of work hotel, which looks like that. So I have no idea what cost implications are. I can't imagine it's a lot, but I don't think they broke it.
Mm-hmm. We're good with that. All right. Thank you. And on to the report. So spring newsletter submissions are due April 1st. And so whatever you may want to put in, whatever your board, committee, commission may want to put in, please let them know.
Important to note, while they're due April 1st, they won't be in mailboxes until
mid-May.
Yeah, so if it's something happening in April, don't bother.
True. Good point. Yes. Good point. Takes a little while to print it and get it out. Okay, the bid opening for Patriots Park will be next week on the 16th at 10 a.m. in Borough Hall. So at that point, we see what bids meet the bid requirements. And, you know, because of the nature of it, it's the lowest bid that meets the requirements. So Nancy Minnick, the landscape architect, will be here for that. And I'll be here and we'll let you know the outcome of that. And I have a legal question for it potentially. Is it appropriate to talk about a property in town that may have repair issues in a public forum?
It's probably more appropriate to do that
by email.
Either by email or yes, an executive session if there's if there's code issues.
And that's all I have then. My personnel, Mary Ellen.
So we have the remaining vacancies on committees, commissions, and boards, and that includes one for HARP, one Human Relations Commission, one Joint Historic Commission, three Recreation Board. We have received applications from Joe Micklin and Bob Musto, one for Shade Tree Commission, Parking and Signs Ad Hoc Committee, and two Walk Friendly Newtown Standing Committee.
And so we have one more, provided Joe Micklin and Bob Musto are voted in, which I think that's great that they're applying. We'll have one more rec board.
One rec board, yes.
Yeah, that'll be good. Thank you. Does anyone have any announcements? Any public to be heard?
So back on the discussion of adopting a book for business, I remember when this was first presented to us that apparently all the old deeds were rescued from the dumpster, and that's what created this whole project, because somebody, I guess they went through and scanned everything and then threw everything away. I'm wondering if maybe Dennis, when you're talking to your cousin, if the book that includes the deed to the common is in there, that would be one that, that council might want to consider supporting. Right now, although we only own this tiny little piece anymore, we're still working off the original deed from 1796, which actually describes the entire common and to determine what we actually own. When you look at that deed, you have to subtract all the other properties that were taken from it. So, and it's in hand, it's handwritten. You know, we've seen all, you know, there are photocopies of it around, but if that deed is one that we could preserve, I think that would be ideal.
Thank you. Ed, do you have something?
Well, I can also discuss it with Julia in the EAC, but there's an area that gets neglected in the septa lot. In the back of the septa lot, there's always standing water. And so make sure that the health department throws their pallets in there.
Okay.
So
we can inform the health department, but I'm thinking in the bigger picture, we may want to deal with that so we don't grow them.
With Dennis, when Dennis was mayor, actually. Mm-hmm. Do you recall Dennis? We went back there.
Yeah.
I'm
sure it's stumpy where it lies behind the stuff a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's included in our letter. Yeah. The letter we says, please don't get stumpy, but we can highlight and say, and
you're sort of
under
the tree.
Because, under the trees is where the water is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So we can be sure to be clear, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's good that, you know, it's already in there. So.
Tara?
Yes.
Could Ted describe where that water is? Is it in the skunky swale on that property?
No, it's on the septa lot where right. It comes out from underground. It's mostly behind trees and in shrubbery. It comes out and then it goes under the street and then comes out behind Linden Park.
So that's part of, it's part of the skunky swale.
Yes. Yeah. So the larger, not the swale that we are improving for MS 4 points, not that area.
Okay. I'm just wondering whether there's a blockage and that water can't get through to Skunky. And so we have a stagnant water problem.
I think Skunky's a stagnant water problem sometimes anyway. But Ted?
It's exactly where the railroad track in the septa lot crosses.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. you really got to go through the trees.
Right. Yeah. I was there once with like children exploring. So you do have to get back in there. Yeah.
It's behind the bus shed then. Yeah. Back in that area.
That's correct. So you heard him say it's where the rail comes out diagonally.
Yes. I know exactly where that is. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Do we have any other public to be heard? All right. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
Good trip.
Not yet. I did it last year.
I know. I did it last year. Remember? I don't remember. Your nurse may come back with you. I'm going to ask somebody to carry my stuff out. So.